establishing eternally. Thank you. For the benefit of all human beings.
Reading the qualities of Sri Krishna. Page 172. Possessing equilibrium. A person who is unaffected by attachment and envy is said to possess equilibrium. An example of Krishna's equilibrium is given in the 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with his chastising Kaliya, the hundred-headed serpent. While Kaliya was being severely punished, all of his wives appeared before the Lord and prayed as follows.
Dear Lord, you have descended to punish all kinds of demoniac living creatures. Our husband, this Kaliya, is a greatly sinful creature, and so your punishment for him is quite appropriate. We know that your punishment for your enemies and your dealings with your sons are both the same. We know that it is in thinking of the future welfare of this condemned creature that you have chastised him. In another prayer, it is said, my dear Lord Krishna, best of all the Kuru dynasty, you are so impartial that even if your enemy is qualified, you will reward him. And if one of your sons is a culprit, you will chastise him. This is your business because you are the supreme author of the universe. If anyone finds any partiality in your characteristics, he is surely mistaken. This issue of whether Krishna is partial or not is discussed in the first chapter of 7th Canto. Actually, it concerns most of the 7th Canto because so much of the 7th Canto is taken up with the pastime of Lord Nisringadev and Prahlad Maharaj. The 7th Canto begins with the question, how can it be that the Supreme Lord seems to be partial? He, in the 6th Canto, sided with the demigods against the demons. And the result was that Vritrasura, who we spoke of this morning, who's actually Chitrakesan, after being cursed by Mother Parvati. Vritrasura was killed, the demons were vanquished. So the question might be, how can you call the Supreme Lord equipoised and possessing equilibrium if he seemingly sides with the demigod? This question is presented. And the answer is given that any time you see partiality in the Supreme Lord, that is due to your vision. You're imposing your material conceptions upon Krishna. This fault is known in Sanskrit as arupita, imposing your mental frameworks or paradigms or notions upon Krishna. But there's no partiality in Krishna. By the arrangement of material nature, you get your actions and reactions accordingly. The example is given by the acharyas that because of the sunlight, the lily is open, and when the sun light is no longer there, the lilies close. When the lilies are open, the bumblebees are enjoying like anything. And when the lilies close, the bumblebees are in distress. But you cannot blame the sun for the happiness and distress of the bumblebees. The sun is shining, and the lilies open and close, but it's the bumblebees' trick. They're enjoying enough. When the lilies are open, the bumblebees are happy. They can take the pollen. And when the lilies are closed, the bumblebees are in distress. But you can't blame the sun for all that. The sun is just doing its thing, and the lilies are opening and closing. It's just the bumblebees, you know, they're hung up on whether the lilies are open or closed. You can't blame the sun. Similarly, Krishna sets material nature into action, into motion. And according to the actions and reactions of material nature, you, the living entity, get happiness or distress. Just like the bumblebees get happiness or distress, depending on whether the lilies are open or not. That is your fault. Like the bumblebees, you're attached to the lilies being open, you're attached to favorable circumstances in the material world, but you can't blame all that on Krishna. This is a great theological question, which takes up a good part of the seventh canon. Is the Lord equipoise and possessing equilibrium, or is he not? The pastime of Hiranyakashipu being killed by Nrisingadev is recited to show that although Hiranyakashipu is the greatest demon, he is liberated by the Supreme Lord. So how can the Lord be simply partial to his devotees? Anyone who comes in contact with Krishna is benefited, whether you're a devotee or demon. You always come out better upon having contacted Krishna. So how can you say that Krishna is partial? Everyone has a chance to be a devotee. It's not that Krishna says you cannot be a devotee. Everyone has a chance. And if you become a devotee, then you receive special treatment from the Lord. But this is not actually partiality, in that everyone has a chance to be a devotee. And furthermore, even the demons, when they're killed by Krishna, they benefit. Anyone who comes in contact with Krishna gets extraordinary benefit, even momentarily. Even if you just say the name Krishna once in your lifetime, it is noted. It's noted down. You have chanted. The accounts are being kept. Sometimes you see that people come to Krishna consciousness and they're very interested at first, but then they fade away due to worldly mindedness. So you might wonder, what will be their future? Their future is that certainly they will undergo the actions and reactions for all their actions in the material world. But at the same time, whatever devotional service they've done, that effect will always be their eternal credit. In fact, even if they blaspheme Krishna this, Krishna that, first they suffer the effects of the blasphemy, and then the effects of their having said Krishna take over after they suffer the effects of the blasphemy. Any way you come in contact with Krishna, you benefit. If people see you walking down the street and they say, ah, the Hari, ah, they get benefit. It is noted down in the accounting book. You have said Hari. Magnanimous. Any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. When Krishna was reigning over Dwarka, he was so magnanimous and charitably disposed that there was no limit to his charity. In fact, so great was his charity in Dwarka that even the spiritual kingdom, with all of its opulence of Chintamani, touchstone, desire trees, and Surabhi cows, was surpassed. In the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits as much as he may desire. The land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still, when Krishna was in Dwarka, his charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is present, the limitless opulence of Goloka Vrindavan is automatically present. It is also stated that while Lord Krishna was living in Dwarka, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, and each and every expansion resided in a palace with a queen. Not only was Krishna happily living with his queens in those palaces, but he was giving in charity from each palace an aggregate number of 13,054 cows, completely decorated, nice clothing and ornaments. From each of Krishna's 16,108 palaces, these cows were given daily. This means that 13,054 multiplied by 16,108 cows are being given in charity by Krishna every day. Anyone can calculate that? 13,054 multiplied by 16,108.
No one can estimate the value of such a large number of cows given in charity. But that was the system of Krishna's daily affairs while he was reigning in Dwarka. Krishna is so charitable that he gives himself. Lord Caitanya is distributing Krishna freely, even to the lowest, most unqualified person. Sometimes you wonder, how is it that, although I'm so unqualified, I have a chance to perform Krishna consciousness and develop love of Krishna? You have that opportunity because Lord Caitanya is giving Krishna freely away in Kali Yuga. Lord Caitanya is known by Rupa Goswami as Namo Mahabharanyavatar, the most magnanimous incarnation. He says, Namo Mahabharanyaya, Krishna Prema Vidayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya, Namane Gorda Say Namah. I offer my obeisances unto the most magnanimous incarnation of Krishna, Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu, who is giving freely what no other avatar has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Through this chanting and dancing and taking prasad and discussing Krishna, Lord Caitanya is present. We have to be very strong to hold on to our charitable gifts. We receive the highest gifts, and we have to safeguard our benediction. Krishna is giving himself through devotional service. The more you are enthusiastic for devotional service, the more you are enthusiastic for Krishna. What is going on here in this place? A chance to serve Krishna. A chance to be fully absorbed in Krishna's service and go beyond your temporary hankerings of the body and mind. This world will never work out just right if you're waiting for that to happen. For this world to work out just right. But Krishna will always be perfectly available for you. So why look to the world to be just right? Why not develop the ability to look to Krishna? If you're looking for security and stability in this world, you're definitely hallucinating. But if you look to Krishna for stability and security, you are seeing correctly. But because we are materialists, that means we're not accustomed to taking spiritual shelter. We're always looking for material shelter. This is our disease. Give me some flesh to hold on to. Give me some solid matter to put my faith in. Krishna, I don't know. Matter, well, that's the real thing. This is our disease as materialists. We look for succor and comfort in the material energy and arrangements of the material energy. I want a satisfying job, a job of dignity and fulfillment. I want a family that makes me feel wanted and appreciated. I want a society that also appreciates me. A real devotee never looks for satisfaction in these things. That would be the same as looking for water in the desert. A real devotee always simply looks to Krishna. There's one bird, I believe, called the Chatika bird. It never takes water from the ground. It always takes water from the rain clouds directly. So similarly, we only want to take our mercy from Krishna. We don't want to look to any arrangements of matter for our satisfaction. And you can be strong in that pursuit by chanting Krishna's name. All our problems can be solved by chanting properly, making the chanting of the holy name our most important activity in the day. You want to be pure? Then be a serious chanter of Krishna's name. You want to have trouble? Then neglect your chanting. Religious. A person who personally practices the tenets of religion as they are enjoined in the Shastra, and who also teaches others the same principles, is called religious. Simply professing a kind of faith is not a sign of religiousness. One must act according to religious principles, and by his personal example, he should teach others. Such a person is to be understood as religious. When Krishna was on this planet, there was no irreligion. In this connection, Narada Muni once addressed Krishna jokingly, "My dear Lord of the Cowherd Boy, your bulls are the representation of religion, while eating grass from the pasturing ground and moving on their four legs, have certainly eaten up all the grass of irreligion." In other words, by the grace of Krishna, religious principles were so well cared for that hardly any religious activities could be found. It is said that because Krishna was constantly performing various types of sacrifices and was inviting the demigods from the higher planetary systems, the demigods are almost always absent from their consorts. Therefore, the wives of the demigods, regretting the absence of their husbands, began to pray for the appearance of Lord Buddha, Krishna's ninth incarnation, who appears in the age of Kali. In other words, instead of being pleased that Lord Krishna had come, they began to pray for Lord Buddha, who is the ninth incarnation, because Lord Buddha stopped the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices recommended in the Vedas in order to discourage animal killing. The demigods' wives thought that if Lord Buddha appeared, all kinds of sacrifices would be stopped, and thus their husbands would not be invited to such ceremonies and would not be separated from them. So you see, even in the higher planet, these things are going on. The demigods' wives, they're tired of their husbands going through all the sacrifices that Krishna is performing on earth, because Krishna was inviting the demigods to come to these great yajnas. So the wives of demigods, instead of rejoicing that Krishna is present on earth, they're praying for Buddha, because Buddha will stop all yajnas or sacrifices to discourage animal killing, because people would take advantage of the Vedic yajnas and use it as an excuse to wholesale kill animals. Therefore, Lord Buddha said, "Stop killing. No sacrifices." So the wives of demigods, they're praying, "Quick, quick, let the Buddha incarnation come. Enough of Krishna and his sacrifices. When Buddha comes and stops all the sacrifices, then our husbands will spend more time at home with us." So the tendency is always there. Sometimes it is inquired, why don't the demigods from higher planetary systems come to this Earth planet nowadays? The plain answer is that since Lord Buddha appeared and began to deprecate the performance of sacrifice in order to stop animal killing on this planet, the process of offering sacrifices has been stopped, and the demigods do not care to come here anymore. And often we were discussing Rupa Goswami's six loving exchanges mentioned in Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. The Dasi, Pratigranati, giving gifts, receiving gifts, giving prasad, receiving prasad, revealing the mind, listening to someone else reveal their mind, Sadpriti Laksha. These six loving exchanges are the basis of Vaishnava relations. So you should see during your day how your day is full of these six loving exchanges. Then you'll appreciate the dealings of devotees. And you'll see that if you weren't performing these six loving exchanges with devotees, you would attempt to do them with materialists and thereby meet with so much problem. What's going on in the society of devotees? It should be these six loving exchanges. But these exchanges not only go on between devotees, but they also go on a wide scale. When you're doing Sankirtan, these are the loving exchanges. You're giving a gift, the book,
And then the person replies with a gift, some money. This is a loving exchange. So when you're going on book distribution, you're simply proliferating the loving exchanges. I have a gift for you, and you have a gift for me. That's what it's all about. You're not exactly selling. You are just spreading the six loving exchanges. Here's a wonderful book. Look at it. Isn't it nice? Okay. Now, wouldn't you like to give me a gift? I'm giving you a gift. So you're just having loving exchanges. You're not trying to hawk or sell something. You're giving love. And the idea is they should also give love. And you can see, this is what banking time is based on. The mass spreading of these loving exchanges. When you're giving prasad, and you give prasad, and then they give some donation for the prasad. Also, you're giving the gift of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada describes all these things as gifts. And sometimes when people get these gifts of books and the holy name and prasad, then they want to open up their mind and inquire, what is my position in the material world? So they're revealing their mind. You know, I have this problem, I have that problem. How do I get out of it? I'm studying at the Polytech, jazz, drumming. Should I continue? So they reveal their mind. And then you reveal your mind to them. Nah, I think it's a waste of time, the Polytech, you know. It's a ripoff. You go there for 3 years studying fabric design and just get a job selling clothes in the store. But you gotta pay for all that education to support the Polytech staff. This is loving exchange. I reveal my mind, you reveal your mind. Now, sometimes devotees misunderstand. They think revealing the mind means whatever babble is in your head, you just let out. No. Revealing your mind means discussing the pitfalls and discussing the means to make advancement. So that when I am weak and you are strong, you help me. And when you are strong, when I am strong and you are weak, I help you. Revealing the mind means for the purpose of spiritual advancement. It doesn't mean just reveal all the nonsense going on in your head. Guess what I was thinking today? That's not like that. The center of any social dealings is advancement in spiritual life. So revealing the mind means in understanding the impediments and the aids to devotional service. So you're wondering, what's the purpose of this association of devotees? What are we up to? We are up to the six loving exchanges. That characterizes the whole day. Someone's giving class, they're giving. And then you reciprocate another way. You may give prasad. You're giving books, they're giving money. So you shouldn't lose sight of what you're doing. Even you're out on the street showing someone a book, you're giving, and they should give also. It's simply a loving exchange. When you understand these loving exchanges, then you can properly see what it is that devotees do amongst themselves and what you're trying to spread on a mass scale throughout the world. You're giving the holy name. That's the greatest gift. So the book distribution is not actually book selling. It's a loving exchange. You're giving a gift, they give a gift. And that's why they're happy when they do that. Because it is a loving exchange of the spiritual world. I'm giving you a gift about Krishna. It's not my gift, it's coming from Krishna. And you're giving me some money. It's not your money, it's Krishna's energy. But we're both exchanging gifts from Krishna, and therefore, there's happiness. So please look at your book distribution activities in this way for the marathon. Loving exchanges. You're not business ladies. You're spreading Rupa Goswami's loving exchange is everywhere. What a difference it will make in the people if in your consciousness you're understanding this point. You're approaching them to give them a chance for a loving exchange. If they don't get this loving exchange chance from you, they don't know what love is. So when you approach them, you're giving them the only shot they have at a real loving exchange. Similarly, if you're cooking prasad and offering prasad to them, their reciprocation is their only chance at experiencing what love is. So people like to talk about love, but they have no idea what it is. Yet the devotee works day and night trying to give these people a chance to participate in real loving exchange. Then the heart is satisfied. Why are we cranky sometimes? We're cranky sometimes due to frustrated material desires. But don't blame Krishna because of your frustration. You foolishly wanted something out of this world. And you won't get it. That makes you cranky sometimes. Why don't we just wise up and understand? We cannot make any expectations out of this world. If you expect something from Krishna, though, then you won't be disappointed. Even if you have material desires, the Shastra says, still you approach Krishna. Akamo Savakamo, Mokshakamo Dharavi, Tivaya Bhakti Yogini, Yajaita Purushambhava. Whether you are free from material desires, full of material desires, or you want liberation, still approach Krishna. Doesn't matter. You'll become purified because you've approached the Supreme Pure. Take advantage of your circumstances to become attached to the holy name. Be determined to use every moment in Krishna's service. You don't know what the future can bring. These are valuable opportunities you're having now to hear about Krishna, chant Krishna's name, serve Krishna, to work for Krishna. Don't be sorry one day that you did not take advantage of this opportunity to put all your energies in Krishna's service. What are you saving your youth for? What can you save your youth for? Why not sacrifice your youth for Lord Chaitanya? That is glorious. So please, when you're doing the marathon, remember these loving exchanges. You're going out to show love. The Sankirtan devotee is the greatest lover. And you can see it when someone completes the loving exchange by giving a gift in return. How wonderful it is. Of course, it's wonderful that you're trying on behalf of Krishna. You can't be attached to the results. But still, when someone does the loving exchange from their side, it's very ecstatic because there's real love that's been generated. Any questions? In Vrindavan, there's a lot of whispering going on. Krishna's pastime with the gopis. The cowherd boys are whispering, the gopis are whispering, revealing their minds. Sometimes the gopis send one particular cowherd boy to recruit Krishna, making treaties on behalf of him. Let's see if I can find it. Eternal loving affairs. Krishna's Poganda age. At the end, when he's around 10 or 11 years old. At this age, Krishna took pleasure in whispering into the ears of his friends, and the subject of his talks was the beauty of the gopis, who were just tarrying before them. Another important pastime of the friends of Krishna was that they served as messengers to and from the gopis. They introduced the gopis to Krishna and canvassed for Krishna. When the gopis were in disagreement with Krishna, these friends would support Krishna's side in his presence, but when Krishna was not present, they would support the side of the gopis. In this way, sometimes supporting one side, sometimes the other, they would talk very privately, with much whispering in the ears, although none of the business was very serious. So, he's a loving exchange. Try your best. It is the greatest love, the greatest mercy to make this effort. It's something you'd never do for yourself.
very pure. It's the most purifying thing. Lord Chaitanya makes it that way. You're taking up that austerity. Therefore, Krishna reciprocates by giving you intense purification. That's an intense cleansing. That's why you become attracted to doing a service, because you've never experienced such an intense cleansing. Don't you feel so clean when you come back from sankirtan? You realize the joy of being clean, internally and externally. Many things you can do for Krishna. Krishna does say that one who spreads his glories is doing the most dear thing. Nevertheless, there's so many things you can do for Krishna. Like, what's the saying, make this? The Shingadev, Troy. His face, he really got the face of the Shingadev there. And that scar of the intestines around the neck. Pool of blood at the feet. What do you think, Madhuri? Very good fashion design. Can you see a t-shirt like that? You try to sell them in your shop, t-shirts with them. Does he still, is it easy to make others once he's made that one, or each one has to be done individually? Yeah. What is that, Masao? What does that mean? Is that good or bad? It takes so much time, doesn't it? Why does he want to do it anymore? Yeah, what else would he have to do? No, you should encourage him to go on like this. What do you think, Mother? He did it for Krishna. It's an emotional thing. There's a subtle difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Karma yoga means when you're attached to a particular activity, but you give the result to Krishna. And bhakti yoga means you're not attached to the results, nor are you attached to the activity. When Krishna is talking about karma yoga in devotional service, he's saying, whatever you do, do as an offering to me. When Krishna is talking bhakti, full-fledged bhakti, he says, just abandon all your conceptions and do what I want. Book distribution is a very good opportunity for bhakti, because it's actually no one's propensity. It's no one's material propensity. Even if you have a salesman's type background, still, book distribution is something else. You are distributing a product that people have no conscious understanding that they need. And you're eliciting that understanding. When people go into a shop, they have some idea, I want to buy something. But when they're walking down the street, they're not thinking, I'm looking for a book about Krishna. So you have to bring out that desire from within them. So we're seeing people coming who you've met on the street, like Daniel, Tracy. So many people are there like that. We just go out and do our best and let Krishna worry about the rest. We're thankful we have this opportunity to render service. The book distributors in Serbia, they're telling everyone, while you have the chance, you should take every opportunity. They're watching all their Sankirtan spots going up in bomb explosions. So they're saying, don't have to regret. Why didn't I take advantage when the situation was right? The temple is closed, and all the men are in hiding because otherwise they get taken into the army. The congregational members are in the army. They have like a more stable social position, so they just can't run. They have to go into the army. The ladies have all left for hungry because the army's not after them, so they're allowed to leave the country. None of the men are. The army wants all possible males between the age of 16 and 60 or something like that. They're all eligible. So take advantage of the opportunity. Any other questions? Reading now. How much book distribution does that leave you? I'll leave all that up to Terry and Brian Spencer. That was a good escape, wasn't it? I'm happy you like to read the book. Marathon's a special time. You're not an old lady yet, are you? You have some strength, right? Yes. You're starting to feel more relaxed in your position?
Yes.
Madhuri's still surprised that you like it? Yeah. You still think she's gone nuts, huh? Emerson, what are you doing here? Are you working or going to school? I hear you're the course acharya. Always taking some courses about everything. So are you working now or coursing? What do you do? What happened to your job with answering the phones for... I've been warned never to try to figure out what you're doing. When you explain it, you go, oh, yeah, that sounds... Then a week later, I ask, so how's Emerson doing at that? Doing at what? Like in the course of a week, it changes about four times. Are you still doing karate?
Yeah.
That keeps you grounded. How did that happen? Like what? So, does anyone have any complaints about anything? Gary, you have any complaints about anything? You've got a heavy work schedule. You try. Try your best. It's a sacrifice. It's something you normally wouldn't do. That's why when I was in Dunedin, 5-degree weather, I really sent a message for Juliet to know that. So things you normally don't do, but to please Kristen, you do them. Also, when I was in Rotorua a few days ago, I was in the center of the city, but it was a humiliating day. I didn't do anything for a few hours. I didn't do anything. Sankirtan can be very humiliating. I wanted to be able to say, pride, Juliet, that just see, I was in Rotorua too. I didn't say anything, couldn't do anything, that's it. No one took anything, right? Very humiliating. These days sometimes carry, but it's humiliating, isn't it? So I think next month the bus will be ready. So it's going to need upholstering, curtains. I think I'm going to take the curtains from where I stayed at Dubarshan. You can fashion them to fit the windows. Don't need much. And some of the seats need upholstery. So Madhuri, you'll have to figure out how to do that. Yes, I suppose. And the curtains have to be adjusted to fit the windows of the bus. So Charlene is cooking nice prasad. I guess so. Prasad Wolfers Club has given their testimony. Remember that big piece of cake that Robin gave me? Did you see that when I was leaving Carterton? She gave me this big piece of cake. And, you know, she gave it, you know, to Craig to put in the car with me. So we got back late at night, 11 o'clock in the morning. So I didn't say anything. I assumed the cake was safe. So later that day, I asked, okay, where's the cake? And so everybody kind of looks the other way. But then because Josh One had maintained he had not partaken of the conspiracy, he immediately turned in the criminals. They plundered by cake. Total lust. Huh? Craig, while I was taking breakfast, Craig looked at the cake and decided that since I'm eating muffins, I don't want cake. Forever. Since I'm eating muffins, he decided that means I don't want cake. It all makes sense, doesn't it? Because at that moment I was eating breakfast, eating muffins, therefore I didn't want the cake, you see? And since I wasn't having cake at that moment, that meant I didn't want the cake. Which meant that, you know, he should take it, but just a little bit. So he took a little bit, and then a little bit more. Then, in order to spread the crime, you know, he called Josh Chew over, right? Of course, you didn't know it was my cake. You just saw that someone was offering some cake, right? Oh, you did know it was my cake, huh?
No, I was
so excited. So he invited you, or you saw it first?
I'd seen it there.
Huh?
I'd seen it there.
I'd seen
the Craig
Portback
from Costume.
Oh, so he, then he handed it to you.
We didn't say, don't take
me
to the Christmas
line. Cut
in.
Pull
it out
of the back.
Yeah,
this
cake. Wow.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Crazy guy. I heard a phone call. Hey, this carrot cake is
in the back. Who called?
I don't know who the phone was.
Who did that? Total lust. So all night long, you guys are just contemplating the object of the senses. And from contemplating the object of the senses, lust developed. So by the time breakfast came around, you know, they just had to gobble it up. Promising themselves they're only going to take a little. You know, a little more, a little more, a little more. So now you know what life is like in the men's ashram. You guys would never do such a thing, would you? Do you do things like that? I see. Is Juliet still making her 90% sugar things? Oh, that's right. You're not a teenager anymore. Huh? Now Juliet is 20 years old. A young adult. So on your birthday, we pray to Krishna that you won't take birth again. We're very thankful to Krishna for sending Juliet, who's been serving Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement since you were, what, 16? Yes, very fortunate life. So today, on her birthday, we want to thank Krishna for sending such a nice devotee. We hope she'll always be a nice devotee. Instead of wasting her teenage years, she's dedicated her life to giving the highest love to everyone. Even when she was going to high school, after school, Carrie would pick her up and take her on book distribution. Her mother sent her to Africa so she'd forget Krishna. She said, I'll send you to Africa to be with your father. How long was that for? 2 months. But it didn't work. So we all want to pray to Krishna that she doesn't take birth again. We want to make this the last lifetime of birthdays for her. Oh, but if she takes birth again to distribute Prabhupada's books, that's okay. No more births for sense gratification. Can't believe you're actually 20 years old. he's still known as a pest. Now you pest. Yes, you can pester the people on Sankirtan. All right, so I'll see everyone next month. Your old friend Harish is flying me to Los Angeles. Nothing more? Not attached to the activity means, let's say, you like to play music, and you're so attached to it, and therefore you say, well, let me play music for Krishna. That's karma yoga. Bhakti yoga means whatever Krishna wants me to do. I'm not attached to the result or the activity. Book distribution is a very powerful purification. First of all, because you're giving Krishna directly to others. And secondly, because it's nothing that you would do ordinarily. I mean, how many of you thought before that, I'm really attached to distributing books, but now I'm going to do it for Krishna? No, it's an activity you never had any attachment to doing before. But don't you feel how purifying it is? No, I haven't done that recently. In the past, I've done it. Stop this up. That business is shop. Stuff you call business is shop. We even try going inside big department stores. Hanging out there all day. they don't have any big department stores. I mean, like Farmers, I guess that's the biggest one. So you try going inside Farmers, and well, people were, you come up to them and, hi, we're here at Farmers today, you know, offering everything called a shopper and this a special opportunity. But it didn't work out so good. We were trying so many different things. Even drive-in movies. Do they have drive-in movies in New Zealand? You know what they are, don't they? Mm-hmm. Someone watching movies from their car at the drive-in, 12 midnight, knock on the window. roll down the window, stick a book in through the window. Quite often the response would be, I can't believe it, you guys are everywhere. We should try to get into prasad distribution again. Why did we stop the bliss balls? Because no one could do them, or what? Is the reason come from? You should get into making what was more effective, bliss balls or the peanuts.
But for the nap, but for the daytime, let's finish. And people are giving donations for them? And to make them more appreciative? So we should get into that again? Well, so if you have enough chefs around, moderately working full time or part time? How many hours? It makes facade distribution, along with the books, is very important for cities where you're meeting the same people again and again. Very important. What about you, Emerson? Are you working full time? How many hours? Is it possible that men can do it? They lack the precision and concentration required. No, I'm just hyping. Who do you think is best for doing it? Gavin do them and often we ship them down here so no one here has the will or time. Going out every day in the same place, meeting the same people, you have to soften them up. So what does that mean? What you do it, if when you approach them and they don't want a book, you say, "Well, take one of these and give a donation." That's nice too. That's necessary. I don't see how this. Anyway, I'm not convinced the two are connected completely, but anyway, we'll get into that.
Looks like they have to be cooled off before they can be bagged. They have to be hardened before they can be bagged.
You need a computer for them too, don't you?
It's just not me. If you look in the bag, most of our boat is outside of the fence because we don't have enough.
Anyway, this is all I'm recommending is that if it's possible, it should be facade distribution. Gives enough to a loving exchange you can offer to the people. It softens up the people because they're going to be seeing it again and again. Did it get to a point in Austin where they'd even come up to you and ask for them?
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely saw a difference in their disposition because of it?
Yeah.
How was that? Of course, it might be interesting to see us here at night, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe you get into the facade just to be.
Right.
I don't know how the hell it is. And we can try it if you want. Maybe it's something Charlene can do. Into becoming the chef here. What do you think? You can increase the book distribution in that way. Very nice. Some can distribute books and prasad, and someone else can more effectively provide the prasad for distribution. Yeah. Krishna consciousness is practical in that sense. At least one day a week, everyone should try to distribute books. But during the week, there may be more effective engagements for different persons. Doesn't mean they're any less effective. Anyway, from such a department to figure all this out, but I definitely know that prasad distribution would be good because it seems so many people. They won't take a book to give something to the staff. That way it works. They down a book to take one of these. So why did it stop before?
We haven't really done anything.
No, it wasn't. Why did it stop? Oh, that's when it stopped. During the day, though, why did it stop?
At one point, God was the community of all
people.
And all of a sudden, we gave them 4 or 5 hours.
Do it for the whole week?
Yeah, just quite a
lot. One day makes them for the whole week?
One day, one third.
Yeah. For the whole week?
Yeah.
One day for the whole week, or what?
So
we
just
do that
in a couple of days
and
a whole
week. So whoever does it, they get to listen to a lot of tape from it. Is it possible the men can do it, or is it complicated and they don't have the propensity?
We haven't been able to do it with my crew yet.
If you spaced out, is it? Somehow he should do it. I mean, to me it seems more practical than anyway, it's impossible for the men to learn how to do it.
They might do it bad here and there, but not as then.
They just don't have the mental concentration. Weak-minded.
Because you have to, like you had the men do it, and you tell them not to staple it while you're rolling, and then staples end up in the back.
You don't
get a poker bar. You get all of these. Oh, I forgot the peanuts.
So Emerson, you're trying to say that the Wellington bachelors are different then. Well, I guess when the bachelor days end, then clarity comes. That's the way it works. You gotta be able to keep a job first before you can have a queen. You remember my mother's mantra?
Yeah, yeah.
Romance without finance is a nuisance. How old are you?
20.
You're still young. We'll have some years of freedom ahead.
We'll see.
What's that?
There's people that I can.
Ah, yeah. So now they begin to start for side distribution.
Exactly.
Buying some devotees who are willing. What's in the refinement? How is it refined?
Because we're using the proportions for dry.
Is it good to do it during the marathon or after? Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.